This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Live and Learn. Myanmar has been rocked by daily demonstrations nationwide ever since the country's military seized power from Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy, which won the general election held on November 8th last year by a landslide. These demonstrations were peaceful and held by unarmed civilians, yet they were met with lethal force by Myanmar's armed forces, who are now in control with Senior General Min Aung Hlaing declaring himself chairman of the State Administration Council and effectively the country's leader. Meanwhile, over in New York, the permanent representative of Myanmar to the United Nations, Chaw Moh-tun, has denounced the military coup and is urging the international community to help restore democracy in Myanmar. BFM's Keith Kam spoke to His Excellency U Chaw Moh-tun to find out more about what is going on in his homeland.
Let's start with finding out what the status of your position now at the United Nations. Are you still the permanent representative of Myanmar despite the change in government leadership?
Yeah, I still remain the permanent representative of Myanmar to the United Nations. You may recall that in my statement on 26th of February, I clearly stated that I was appointed by the civilian government, elected by the people. So my position is very clear that I can be removed only by the elected government, not by the illegitimate military regime. So I remain as a permanent representative of Myanmar to the United Nations until now.
So just to be clear, the United Nations does not recognize the military government at this point.
Yeah, it is clear that, you know, because according to the UN protocol, the head of state of Myanmar is President U Win Myint and the foreign minister is Dr. Aung San Suu Kyi. They still remain in the protocol of the UN as the head of state and the foreign minister of Myanmar.
Let's talk about the CRPH, that's the committee representing the Pidiangsu Tlutor, that's your National Assembly. That was formed 4 days after the military coup, and that is now seen as an alternative government comprising the elected members of the NLD party. Tell me more about this.
Yeah. As you rightly pointed out, on the 5th of February, the members of the parliament mandated by the people at the general elections held on 8th of November 2020, they formed the committee representing the Pidiangsu Tlutor. Actually, it is not only the members of the NLD, but of course, the majority are members of the NLD, but also include the representatives from the other political party who win in the election. So now the CRPH is now working very hard. In Myanmar, when we have the fight against the military regime, we have the three pillars. One is the young people who risk their own life on the street to protest the military regime. And another one is the civil servant who joined the civil disobedience movement. When I'm talking about the civil servant, actually, it's not only the civil servant, but also the, you know, people at large joining the civil disobedience movement. Because, you know, there is a very clear that whatever the instruction or the order coming from the illegitimate military, people do not follow the instruction. That is the part of the movement that we are doing. The another pillar is the CRPH. These three working together to fight against the military regime, to bring back democracy to the country and to bring back state power to the people through the elected government. 31st of March, the CRPH has declared the abolishment of Constitution, 2008 Constitution, and then also the adoption of the Charter. And in the coming days, the CRPH and the others, the relevant stakeholders, working together to have a national unity government.
How is the CRPH seen by the United Nations? Are they seen as the legitimate government?
You know, because at this time, we are working very hard to have the, you know, strong support from the international community in the international platform. So including the UN platform, we are working on it. But even though, you know, informally, there's a lot of support with regard to the CRPH, what is a good thing for the CRPH is that the UN doesn't recognize the military regime as the government of Myanmar. So indirectly, it can be considered that, you know, the CRPH is supported by the people. CRPH has the mandate by the people of Myanmar. So, you know, in the democratic setting, countries respect the desire of the people. So it's very encouraging for all of us, the people of Myanmar, that, you know, the way that UN is treating the military regime is very clear. They don't recognize the military regime.
You had in February made your stand on the military's takeover of power very, very clear that you are against it. You know, the three-fingered salute and all that, because you made headlines. Tell us why you did that, knowing that there will be repercussions.
Actually, you know, in the last week of January, I learned that, you know, the number of negotiations taking place between the government and the military, and then the NLD and the military, that the negotiation is not going to the right direction, and its situation is getting, you know, serious. But to be very frank, I didn't expect the coup would take place. But it took place on 1st of February. As you know, we've been under the military rule for so long. And then we enjoyed the sort of, you know, democracy in 2011, even though this is a quasi-civilian government. But we started enjoying the democracy and the freedom of expression and the, you know, the basic human rights. Then in 2016, when the NLD-led government came in, we enjoy more human rights. We enjoy more freedom of expression. You look at the vibrant social media in Myanmar and the media that itself is really prevailing, you know. So, you know, suddenly, and so we have the military coup on 1st of February, and, you know, people got, everybody got shocked and everybody disappointed. So I'm among them. And then you may recall that on the 2nd of February, there was a closed-door meeting at the Security Council. So people got the high expectation from the UN Security Council. But as you know, the composition of the UN Security Council and the, you know, position and the stand that member states of the Security Council are taking. But I thank them for, you know, the unifying voice that came out from the Security Council on the 4th of February, as well as on the 11th of March through the presidential statement. So these all things, you know, make me, actually, my decision has already made on the 1st of February, because it's my position is very clear. I'm against the military regime. I'm against the military coup. So that I'm trying to find the time that it can have the maximum impact on the crisis in Myanmar. And I did deliver the statement. And I, of course, I know the repercussion, so that in the following day, they dismissed me. But I don't mind, because I already expected that kind of, you know, reaction will be coming from the military.
Now, you have also mentioned that amongst Myanmar's foreign service, you are not really alone in this crusade. If you could just paint a picture of what sort of support you have from missions around the world.
There are some of my colleagues who joined the civil disobedience movement. For example, 2 in Tokyo, 3 in Bali, 4 in Geneva, 2 in Paris, 1 in Tel Aviv, and 5 in Washington, D.C., 2-3 in LA. Through joining CDN, they expressed their disappointment with the military regime, and they're really hoping for the restoration of democracy in Myanmar. So that's sort of, you know, we are working together, you know, because we cannot alone get the, you know, the results. So together, definitely we can win the fight. We can bring back the democracy to the people of Myanmar.
I have to also tell you that I have personally reached out to the Myanmar embassy in Kuala Lumpur to try to get comments from the ambassador here. But there has been no response so far. I've emailed them, I've called them. And when I personally went to the embassy, the compound just showed Myanmar citizens largely just, you know, going about their daily business. They didn't really seem to be bothered by what was going on. I was just wondering, maybe the passion that most Myanmar people feel at home, it doesn't really translate outside the country. What do you think?
Sorry, I'm not really agree with that point. By the way, the ambassador in Kuala Lumpur is my best mate. We are close friends, but we have to respect different positions taken by different people. So you look at what happened in Myanmar, it's really, in the first week of February, millions of people, civilians, came out on the street and, you know, protest against the military regime. At the same time, also, you know, the Myanmar diaspora and Myanmar community throughout the world, especially those in Europe, those in the United States, and those in South Korea, and those in Japan. The numbers of people came out on the street joining the people in Myanmar for protests against the military regime. Compared to, you know, what happened in 1988 and what happened in, you know, 2007, the sentiment that people outside are really growing. What I see is really incredible. The support is not only within the country, it's also outside the country. As you may also know that, you know, we are not rich people, but when we need the financial assistance, people, you know, from the, you know, all sort of life came out and, you know, they donate the money. You know, look at that kind of support, not mentally, but physically, whatever the support that the people outside the country are giving to the people inside the country. So what I see is that many, many people outside the country really behind the people inside the country with regard to our cause of ending the military coup and the restoration of democracy in Myanmar.
Your Excellency, what has the response been from international companies operating in Myanmar? I mean, we have oil and gas giants like France's Total, Chevron, Singapore's DBS, the one of the largest banks in Southeast Asia, Japan's Suzuki. I don't think they will be moving out soon, given that, you know, they've invested so much money in the country in the past years.
The point that we always make that, you know, when we demand condemning the military coup, you know, the release of our leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, President Uwe Mins and other unlawful detainees, and the restoration of democracy and the supporting the CRPH. So because what we see is that at this point, the pressure on the military be given by the international community is really imperative. And that is why we keep also asking the, you know, the targeted sanctions. When we are talking about targeted sanctions, it should be the coordinated, targeted and tougher sanctions that we really want to see it from the international community. Also, at the same time, we also like the countries to look at the financial flow into the military regime and its companies and its related businesses. So that's sort of, you know, the measures that we really like to see from the international community. By the way, we also thank Petronas for, you know, make the announcements of stopping the business in Myanmar. Whatever the reason is, we really appreciate it at this time. Because for us, we will keep appealing the international community, especially the international cooperation, to do more with regard to the, you know, saving lives of the innocent civilians. This is the top priority for us, is saving lives of the innocent civilians. Protect the people of Myanmar. So not only the government, but also the business sectors, whatever the measures, whatever the action they can take, is really saving lives of the innocent civilians. Because whenever they are keep on doing the business in Myanmar, the money, the financial, will inflow to the military regime and that encourage them to kill more people. So it is very, very much important for us, the government, the businesses, whatever they make the decision, please take into account of the saving lives of innocent civilians in Myanmar and please protect the people of Myanmar, whatever way that they can. That is my humble appeal to the international community and also the countries in the region to take strongest possible measures against the military regime.
I am talking to Chaw Moe Tun, still the permanent representative of Myanmar to the UN, although he currently represents the CRPH government comprising MPs who won the November 2020 election. In a little while, we'll find out what the way forward might look like. This is BFM 89.9. I'm talking to His Excellency U Chaw Moe Tun, the permanent representative of Myanmar to the United Nations. Let's get back to our conversation. Your Excellency, financial and economic sanctions is what you're calling for, but, you know, what do you think is realistically achievable? Because, you know, we've seen sanctions since the second coup in 1988. It didn't do very much, and democracy only returned in 2011 with elections in 2015. Also, the generals seem to have support from Russia and China, who have veto powers in the UN Security Council. Will just cutting financial flows for the military really help? Because it hasn't worked before.
Yeah, but this time will be different because if we work together, I mean, all the countries in the region, definitely it will have huge impact on the military regime. So that is why we keep appealing all member states. When we don't have any resolution or any action from the Security Council, then what we are, you know, talking about is targeted, coordinated, tougher sanctions. That is, you know, if the group of countries, like-minded countries, come up together and put pressure on the military regime. So definitely it will have a lot of impact on the military council. What we need is that we need support from the each and every member state of the United Nations, also the civil society, also the business sector. You know, the Secretary General of the United Nations clearly stated that the military coup is not acceptable in this modern world. And that is why we need to work together. This is the good example for the all countries in the world. For us, especially for Myanmar, we don't want to go back to the vicious cycle that we used to have. We don't want to go back to the system that we used to be in before. So that is very clear. That is the determination of the people of Myanmar. We will fight against the military regime until the end. So this is our resolution. This is our determination. So that is very clear. So we need help from the international community. So it is a bit different from what happened in 1988. The Inhumane Act committed by military. I think the international community, the countries should not be silent. They need to speak up. They need to take actions, whatever that they can. So what we want is that military, they have to be a professional one. So they have to go back to their respective barracks, and then they have to leave politics and they have to leave businesses. So that is very important. We want the military to be a professional one.
Now, Myanmar is also a member of ASEAN. What can you expect from your ASEAN partners, given that we haven't really heard much, anything strong from them other than comments by President Joko Widodo?
At this point, also, I also like to thank the statement issued by the Prime Minister of Malaysia, because what we see is that among the ASEAN members, Indonesia, Singapore and Malaysia, they made the strong statement. We know the way that ASEAN works. We are the family members of ASEAN. This kind of statement come out is really encouraging for us. So what we can expect from ASEAN, we need to be pragmatic. We need to be realistic. Because ASEAN itself, we have our own limitation. We have our own constraints. So that constraint, that limitation, we need to understand. So whatever decision, whatever action taken, it is by consensus. So that we need to respect the principle of ASEAN. But at the same time, the request that we make is that whatever way that, you know, ASEAN can contribute to solve the problem in the crisis in Myanmar, we always, always welcome, you know, because we are also thinking of, you know, China is our neighboring country. We cannot ignore the role of China in this crisis. But at the same time, we cannot ignore the perception of the people of Myanmar vis-a-vis China. You know, we also need to have the involvement from the other countries like United States. If we have the joint effort between the, you know, the United States and China, and then with the support of the ASEAN, I strongly believe that the resolution for the crisis can be met. The point is that we want to solve the problem.
For now, Daw Aung San Suu Kyi and President Win Myint and several others, they have been charged with violating the Official Secrets Act, with corruption, even for possessing walkie-talkies. Do you have any news about their well-being?
Recently, the lawyers met with Daw Aung San Suu Kyi virtually. So according to them, she is in good spirit and she looked fine. So it's a very encouraging for us. So because we worry about her, we worry about the president, and we worry about all unlawful detainees. So, you know, the charges that they make, I should say, is really ridiculous. So when you're talking about corruption, everybody knows who is Daw Aung San Suu Kyi. Now, those who give them the charges, we know who they are. So when they are talking about the corruption, it's really funny. It's really ridiculous. I think people can judge who she is, what kind of ridiculous actions are being taken by the military against the Aung San Suu Kyi and the other detainees, including the president.
Where does this go from here? Now that they have been charged, it doesn't look like they are going to be letting her out anytime soon.
Yeah, that is why we need to fight for it. That is why we need the help from the international community. So we need to push harder and harder on the military to respect the, you know, rule of law, to respect the democratic norms and standards, to respect the calls from the international community. So that's sort of thing that we need to put pressure on the military regime, especially to release unconditionally and immediately our leaders and the others and lawful detainees. It's really imperative for all of us. That is not fair.
I know that internet has been largely cut off, except maybe for some fiber optic connection. I was just wondering if you have any updates on the current situation in the country. There are reports that, you know, I think 550 people have been killed by security forces since the demonstration started. I was wondering if you have anything new on this.
Yes, it's already more than 500. It is, you know, the confirmed cases. That definitely there are unconfirmed cases. So the death toll may be higher than what we see now. But those, the number that is being verified. Of course, as you know, thousands of people being injured. And then also thousands of people being detained, arrested arbitrarily. And then also, you know, you see on the social media, many people being tortured, even on the streets. So it's no doubt that behind bar, the torture's been taking place. So it's so worrisome for the, you know, the people. And also, you know, even as young as like 6-7 years old girl being shot and killed, that sort of, you know, brutality in this modern way should not be acceptable. We need to fight, you know, we need to work together with the international community. International community also should help the people of Myanmar don't be silent. Please speak out. So, you know, internet blackout is really serious for all of us. The worry that we have, you know, by using internet blackout, they may make more atrocity. They may commit more crimes against humanity. That is what we worry. I wrote a letter to the Secretary General to look into this matter. Even also, I requested him to request the ITU, International Telecommunication Union, to look at this matter. Because we worry that by blacking out the internet in Myanmar, they will commit more atrocity, more against humanity.
Your Excellency, I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about the CRPH and a charter that they are drawing up, which talks about a kind of unity among all the ethnic minorities in the country. Tell us what's been happening with the various ethnic minorities since the coup. Because I know that the Karen National Union, they've still been waging a war, even though democracy was reinstated in 2011, 2012. Could they be a key in restoring civilian rule, taking it back from the military?
The CRPH is reaching out to all stakeholders, including ethnic organizations, ethnic political parties. So it's very encouraging, I should say, because the comments that we receive, the unity that we have so far, we never seen it before since the independence that we gained in 1948. So that unity is already there. And then also, they are now working to have a national unity government in coming days. So that's sort of, you know, the approaches that they are taking, because we are aiming to have further democratic union. That is our aim. And then we are also aiming to have the federal army. So that's sort of thing that we all are working on it. We need to respect each and everyone, rights of each and everyone in Myanmar, to restore our democracy for all people in Myanmar.
Which actually brings me to the Rohingya issue. You know, this has been a bit of a sticking point for many in the international community. What is the real situation here? Will this new charter include them as well?
What happened in the issue in Rakhine State? You know, everything is because of the Neutrality Act committed by the military, the policy of discrimination pursued by the military. So if we win the military, if we end the military coup, if we win the military regime, we are very much confident and we are very much convinced that the issue in Rakhine will be solved very easily with the end of the military regime in Myanmar, because they are the one who making all the troubles in Myanmar. You know, we all are together. We all are the people. We need to respect the rights of each and everyone. That is what I mentioned earlier. So whoever inside the country, we have to respect their fundamental rights of the people.
But if I remember correctly, Daw Aung San Suu Kyi defended the military during allegations that there was a lot of mistreatment and crimes against humanity, genocide against the Rohingya people. Why was she defending the military at that time?
Yeah, and so I don't want to use the word defending. You know, that she's defending the military because, you know, she making the things happen. She making the things be resolved. In front of the ICJ, she clearly stated that because of the finding of the ICOE, Independent Commission on Inquiry, it's clearly stated that atrocity took place. The crimes against humanity took place in Rakhine in 2016 and 2017. That is, she clearly stated that she's not defending the military, but she wants to solve the problem. So the Rakhine issue itself is very complex, very complicated. She, as a, you know, leader of the country, she needs to look at the issue from the multiple points of view. What I see, I really support her because since she came into the office, on 2016, her top priority is solve the problem in Rakhine State. That is why she invited the Dr. Kofi Annan to lead the advisory commission, and the advisory came out with the, you know, 88 recommendations. So the government itself also, you know, support the recommendation and whatever the way that the government can implement their recommendation. So that is where we are. So again, you know, it's with the end of the military regime, definitely the issue in Rakhine we can solve very easily.
Your Excellency, Chom Mo Tun, Jesu Timbade.
Jesu Ba, Terima Kasih. Thank you so much.
I've been talking to Chom Mo Tun, the permanent representative of Myanmar to the United Nations. He currently represents the CRPH government comprising MPs who won the November 2020 election. I'm Keith Kam for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.